The name of the new book is Holy Ground on Activism, Environmental Justice, and Finding Hope. Catherine Coleman Flowers is the founder of the Center for Rural Enterprise and Environmental Justice, a MacArthur Genius Grant recipient. She's the author of Waste, One Woman's Fight Against America's Dirty Secret. The new book is Holy Ground on Activism, Environmental Justice, and Finding Hope. And it's a great pleasure to welcome Catherine Coleman Flowers to the roundtable this morning. Thank you very much for being with us. What a delight to have you on the program.
Well, thank you for inviting me.
What brought you to collect these essays and to look at this subject in the way that you do?
Well, you know, I'm a Southerner who grew up in the church, and I've just been taken aback about how people have used religion to support corruption or to mask corruption, to destroy the earth, to destroy the rights of women, to take us back in so many ways to places that we don't want to go back to. And also how it has, you know, has taken the American promise in a different direction and redefined it in a way that I don't recognize it. But at the same time, I wanted to be able to lift up stories of transformation and hope, and I used my own life as you know, as the example, because, you know, in my more than 50 years, I've seen lots of changes, and I think I'm going to see even more, but I'm still optimistic, and my faith is very much a part of that.
You start off the book by saying, "I have lived many lives, a great blessing," and that means you've seen a lot, right? You have a lot
to
compare.
Yes, I do. I have a lot to compare, a lot of things that probably would have broken some people, broken their spirit at the very least. I've been able to survive, and I think I use my story to let people know we can get to the other side of this. But we have to remain active. We have to make sure that we protect our mental health, and it's okay to tell our stories. You know, the successes as well as the failures, and I do that in these essays.
You say in the prologue of the book, "I am a Christian and a woman who knows that the only reason I am where I am is because of God's grace and mercy." It's interesting now of how much religion has brought into much of what is being brought to us by the current administration, and yet seems to be void of the teachings of Christ. And I'm curious as to what you make of that and how you find that common ground amongst the holy ground.
That's a very good question. Well, first of all, you know, Revelations talks about, you know, the fact that there are going to be many people that stand there off God and not of God. So I think the masking is something that we've always seen. I mean, slavery was masked in religion. They used it to justify bringing people over because they said they were converting them to Christians, although they were working them for free and snatching them away from their families. Religion has been used to subjugate women. It's been used in so many negative ways. But out of that, what I've learned are to take the stories that have been empowering. I mean, religion invigorated the civil rights movement. A lot of the leaders in the civil rights movement were, in fact, ministers. A lot of people in the abolitionist movement, we look at the Quakers and the role that they played in the abolitionist movement and also along the Underground Railroad. I think we see good and bad on both sides, but I think the good outweighs the bad. And we, those of us who do believe in the teachings of Jesus, I think this is our time to show that. And we have to show that through our actions, and we have to show that in our words, and we have to also lift up examples in our lives that show that that's real. Because as I tell these stories about what has happened to me in the book, you know, a lot of young people, when they read the book, what they ask me is, how did you remain hopeful? How did you keep going forward? Is that it was that faith that took me to the other side, to I was strong enough to stand on my own.
You talk in the book about your work and that you've always had a belief that the gap between rich and poor can be bridged, and you say that your mission on Earth is to serve as that bridge. Talk a little bit about that, of what the importance of that bridge is, and how we also can become bridges to bridge that gap.
Well, I think we become bridges to start, first of all, looking around and what I've done. You know, I'm from Lyons County, Alabama, which is located between Selma and Montgomery. I grew up poor. My family didn't live in a trailer, but a lot of my family members, not my immediate family, but I had extended family that lived in mobile homes. I still have extended family that live in mobile homes. And I know what it was like to not have running water inside the house and have to use a slop jar at night because you didn't have a bathroom in the house, or have to take a bath in a tin tub. People think that that doesn't exist in America anymore, but it does, more often than not, because a lot of people have failing sanitation systems, especially in rural America, where a lot of this poverty is masked, because urban poverty and rural poverty looks different. You have a few more material things in an urban community than you may have in a rural area. So consequently, what I've done is my friends that are that have means, I've actually taken them so they can see firsthand what poverty looks like. A lot of people have not seen that. And I believe that it's hard to unsee what they've seen. You know, when you see raw sewage on the ground and children's toys around it, it's hard to unsee that, because people think of that as being in some third world country somewhere, but it's right here in America. And how do we miss that? How do we allow that to happen? So the way we can become bridges, all of us, is to look around us and see what the inadequacies are and see how we can do to help bring people to a point where they realize they exist, and then start working on solutions.
Catherine Coleman Flowers is the author of Holy Ground on Activism, Environmental Justice, and Finding Hope. You talk about the work that you have done over several decades, and I'm curious as to do you look at the last several weeks as an especially dark time?
Well, the last several weeks are challenging times. I don't see them as especially dark times. I think they're challenging, but, you know, what made me a good student is when I went into a challenging class. That made me a better writer. When a teacher critiqued my work, when they critiqued my work, it made me go and make sure I did it better the next time. So I think in terms of how we look at policies and change, those changes are not subject to the type of powers that can destroy it with an election, especially changes that are for the common good. So what I've been thinking about personally, first of all, how do we make sure that morality is indeed morality and not based on a way to put more money in people's pockets at the expense of the American public? I think that that's one thing that I've been looking at. And I've also been looking at, you know, one of the stories that I tell in the book is about Judas. There's an essay entitled 30 Pieces of Silver. And if everybody, those that do know the story of Judas, Judas actually sold out Christ for that, but at the end, you know, Judas took his own life because he wasn't happy, you know, with the outcome. Likewise, I feel that there's hope in that story, that some people are going to realize that they are, in fact, Judas. You know, they may not realize that they were playing that role initially, but as they see, as they destroy these things that make America so precious, maybe, hopefully, some will come to their senses and say, this is not what we intended. We didn't intend for the price of eggs to go up to $15 a carton. You know, we didn't intend for the average American family to pay more when we said that we wanted them to pay less. So out of that may come some changes, or out of that may come pushing for some other types of leadership that haven't had the opportunity because of the infighting that we have on whose turn it is to run for office. So I think out of this is going to come new ideas, new struggles. It's going to be transformational. We may suffer a little bit, but I think we're going to get to the other side okay.
And it starts, I mean, you seem to make this case throughout the book of from being from Alabama, that this is very much about our communities, about what we how we live with one another and how we live in our communities with other people.
Yes, we have to learn how to live together. I mean, we will either live together as friends or we're going to die together as fools. And we can't do that by hoarding what blessings we have and not sharing it with our neighbors or the world. And the way that America has been a beacon of hope for so many people is because in many cases, we have taken a high moral ground. When we stop taking a high moral ground, we're going to lose that position, and I'm concerned about that. And hopefully there are enough of us out there, whether we're in government or not, that will continue to take that high moral ground.
You mentioned that so much of this is for you as a religious person. And so how do we mix the two of you know, the separation of church and state? And yet we have to have our own moral code, right? We have to be able to know what is important to us. And if that is through religion, if that is through God, then that can be one path to allow us to work through these very important issues.
Yeah, I think religion is one way, but one can support democracy and not be religious. So, you know, I don't think it's a prerequisite. It's just my way, and I don't prescribe it for everyone, but I am talking to those Christians who have buried their heads in the sand lately and voted against the interests of democracy. But at the same time, I think that as we look at values, there are certain common values that we should all hold as American citizens that are spelled out in the Constitution. You know, one of the things I still look at when I think about, you know, the core values of democracy, I look at the preamble to the Constitution. You know, look at the Declaration of Independence. Of course, when they were written for white men, by white men. But at the same time, if we had those principles apply and values apply to all of us, we would be in a better place. And that's what I'm pushing for. And I'm hoping that my book still reminds people of that. And I cite examples of transformation. I talk about my friendship with Jeff Sessions, who was, you know, what we had in common was that we both had rural, poor backgrounds. And although we didn't share the same political philosophies about everything, he was concerned about the sanitation issue in rural communities and how do we address poverty in rural communities and how do we get resources for rural communities that can't pay a match. Those were the match for government funds. And that was what we shared in common. I also talk about Huntsville, which is where I live, in Huntsville, Alabama, where Operation Paperclip brought a lot of the German scientists here who had participated as part of the Nazi regime and built the rockets that rained down on Europe. But these were the same people that came here and launched the space program, in some cases that, you know, created things that saved lives instead of took lives. And Wannes von Braun, when he was here, recruited people to work at NASA and the Redstone Arsenal from HBCUs, you know, historically black colleges and universities. Mm. And there's a story about George Wallace wanting to come to Huntsville to, you know, when he was doing his segregation tour, and he wanted to come here and go to NASA, go to where von Braun was, and he would have no parts of it. So that's an example of transformation, and who would have thought? So I think that as we look at these days and some of the actions that people are taking, maybe there's that one or two persons in there that would say, this is not right. And maybe, you know, even if they got a chance to read the book or talk to someone who could touch their hearts and help them to get more in touch with reality and what the average American is going through and how that impacts democracy in the rest of the world.
Catherine Coleman Flowers is the author of Holy Ground. I want to ask you about so much about the book, and we've been talking about some big picture stuff, but obviously you mentioned this about seeing the sewage on the streets, and you write a lot in the book about environmental justice. It just seems to me that more than almost anything else could bring us together, that we want our communities, we want our families, we want our kids to be safe, and that if we can agree on anything, it should be that.
I think I agree with you. I don't think, even if you own a pet, think about if you're a pet owner. A dog would not sleep on a soiled bed. Why should humans have to live that way? We're all better than that. And in a lot of cases, it's because of either they can't afford the infrastructure or the infrastructure is simply failing. And the infrastructure is failing because we don't live in isolation. The infrastructure is failing because of climate change. You know, it's raining where I am right now. When we get lots of rain, and they're expecting, in some cases, people are going to get over the next couple of days up to 6 inches of rain. People that are on-site systems and some of these other small treatment plants are going to fail because the ground is going to be soaked with water. When that happens, it pushes sewage back into people's homes. Or in some cases, it forces the systems to fail, especially the on-site systems, and the sewage ends up spilling out on the ground. Nobody likes that, but it has not been addressed because some people seem to think that, if it doesn't impact them, it doesn't matter. But these are things that end up in our drinking water sources. And as a result, if we look at the fact that whatever is out there, that whatever we do to the earth ultimately impacts all of us and impacts our health, I think that we will look at it differently. And hopefully we can come together around that. I want to just share with me an article that talked about the rollback of regulations on water that's come out of this administration. And at the end of the day, do they want lead coming into water in the White House?
Mm.
If they don't want it coming into the water in the White House, it shouldn't go into any community. And that's the standard we should all have when it comes to water and sanitation, because water is, in fact, life.
Catherine, I think so many people are listening to you this morning, as I am, and are so touched by what you're saying. But it's been a time where many people, not everyone, but many people feel that it's hard to find hope, and it's hard to overcome the challenge, and heck, it's even hard to get out of bed. And I'm curious as to if you personally feel that, and if you do or if you don't, how you would overcome it.
I don't personally feel that. The reason I don't personally feel that, because I grew up black in the South during the civil rights movement. So
right.
I think a lot of people that are having a hard time getting out of bed, if they were me, they probably would have ended it a long time ago. But I had a reason to keep hoping that I could bring about some change. You know, my own story is what gives me hope, that I grew up a poor black girl who was told that I was underprivileged, that I didn't know how to write. There was one family that wanted to send me to a private boarding school in Massachusetts, but they said I would have to go back to the 11th grade in order to do that, and my family wouldn't allow them to do it, only for me to go on and having attended HBCUs and schools that were not power schools and earn a MacArthur Genius Award. My own life has been exemplary of what hope is about, because I'm not supposed to be. You know, that I didn't get here because of this administration would say, a DEI program. I got here because of hard work, and also I had the good genes to be able to take what was available to me and make something even more out of it. And as a result, I think we all have that. And those of us that have privilege should use that privilege to work on change and not to bury our heads in the sand, because the bad wins when we do nothing.
So in other words, quit whining.
Quit whining and get to work.
I can't think of a better way to end our conversation. I think it's as simple as that. Quit whining and get back to work. Catherine Coleman Flowers is the author of the beautiful book Holy Ground on Activism, Environmental Justice, and Finding Hope. Catherine, an absolute delight to speak with you. Thank you so much for sharing with us this morning.
Thank you. I really enjoyed it.
Be well. Thank you. Again, the name of the book is Holy Ground on Activism, Environmental Justice, and Finding Hope. It is published by Spiegel & Graw. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.